Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora everyone and welcome back to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrig from the NZ Spirit Guide. And today we're sitting down with a brand that might be new on your radar, but they've already made big impressions in the gin world. Unlikely Companions, based in the vibrant portside community of Ahuriri, Hawke's Bay. In a short time, they've launched two daring flavour profile gins and taken home a significant prize, the very first NZ Spirit Guide People's Choice Award at Gindulgence Tauranga. Today, we'll chat with Alice, the co-founder and creative force, about how this bold little brand came to be, what sets their gins apart, and where to next for Unlikely Companions. Let's get into it. Alice, thanks so much for being here.
Let's start at the beginning.
What were you doing before launching Unlikely Companions, and how did that lead into the world of distilling?
So I think it's, you know, my upbringing's had a lot to do with it. I've grown up in the beautiful Hawke's Bay. For anyone that's been here, hopefully they've been to the Hawke's Bay Farmers Market. There's, you know, we just have so many amazing producers, so many beautiful creatives here creating beautiful things. And that really inspired me while I was growing up. I was always looking for the next thing. From a very young age, and whether it's a supermarket or the Hawke's Bay farmers market. So I guess I've always had a dream to create a product of my own. And instead of going into food tech, which was the original plan, but once you've made commercial grade mayonnaise, you'll never eat mayonnaise again. And it completely put me off my scholarship for my food tech. So I stopped food tech once I realized I wasn't actually going to be making real food. And I was really lucky. I got a lot of opportunities in advertising from a young age, from 18. And I was doing all these amazing events and experiential events for huge brands across New Zealand from 18, and building teams. And, you know, it was a dream job at that stage. And it really made me fall in love with advertising. And that's where I've stuck ever since. However, this, you know, niggling need to build something of my own came to about, you know, 3 years ago. And I'd been working on a lot of other alcohol brands throughout New Zealand and internationally. And what I love about gin is that it's, you can be so creative with it. You can have a lot of fun. You can be bold and experimental, new flavors in the cocktails that you make. So there's just so many different layers to gin. And that's what really attracted me to gin specifically, to begin with, at least anyway.
Okay, so let's start by launching a gin brand now. New Zealand has over 500 New Zealand gins already.
Yeah.
What inspired you to go for it now, and what's your point of difference?
Yeah, cool. So start off with, we probably started looking at this about 3 years ago. But I don't think competition, I mean, gosh, like, I think especially the last 5 years, we are so scared to do anything and put ourselves out there. And there's so many, you know, it's so easy to make an excuse. But I think that you can still, with any product, you can still make an impression by just doing things like your way and creating a brand. So I mean, we knew that it was already saturated like 3 years ago when we were even looking at this. And that's where I just said to Simon, hey, do you want to come on board with you know, this idea, which he was really keen to because he's from the wine industry already. And like, can you get, do you think you could get us into, you know, the US? Because the US is an emerging market. It's not as saturated as New Zealand. So as much as I love New Zealand, like I want everyone in New Zealand, I hope that they really enjoy our gin, but we're very aware that it was a hugely saturated market and we were going to have to go international to make any money at all. So that's where Simon comes in. And yeah, we've been successful in getting ourselves into the US. We've had our second order already since launching in August, and our importer said that it's been the easiest product he's had to move, basically. Wow. So yeah, it's all good things. He's sold out already, so he'll be making another order. Yeah. Wow. So I think it's amazing. It's kind of almost like it's not real, like you kind of say these things but you don't, it doesn't fully sink in. So in short we knew it was saturated. I'm that doesn't really scare me. It's almost just like a challenge in terms of using my marketing and branding knowledge to try and create something new that excites people and new experiences. And I think there was a gap there for us, because a lot of people, like a lot of gin brands before us, haven't really been inspired, like their brand hasn't been inspired by the things that ours have been, which I think, yeah.
Okay. Let's first talk about the name, Unlikely Companions. It's intriguing and it sort of sets sort of a tone. What does it mean for you, and how does it capture the spirit of what you're trying to create? What's the story behind it?
Yeah, thanks for asking. First of all, I love it when people ask us. We get that question a lot, and for me, that's really important, because it means that they're engaged, they're curious, and that is exactly the spirit of what we want our gin to create, is that curiosity. But for me, the name is a philosophy, it's a way of being. I wanted to have a name that could be mistaken as a fashion or a beauty brand, rather than named after a place or being nature inspired or some kind of pun. So I wanted it to be like a part of the social aspect of gin. I think that's really important. It's all about creating and appreciating experiences and, yeah, creating those moments in life, memorable moments for me. Yeah. I guess it's also about finding the harmony in unexpected places. So whether that's in our flavour pairings or our partnerships within this business, friendships or... you know, just the moments that we hope that our gin creates, like positive moments. Open. We just want people to be open and adventurous to life and explore combinations, take risks, like safe risks. And make connections that might not be obvious, but yeah, they just, you know, create those sparks in life, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the bottle. The bottle is a clean, striking, very modern, a rectangular form with a sharp topography and distinct color blocks. How did you arrive at that design, and what's the story that you're trying to tell through the look and the feel of the bottle?
Yeah. Okay, I think there's a lot of beauty and simplicity. I've been inspired a lot by Japanese design and Scandinavian, having been in those two countries, spent a lot of time in those two countries. I think, and, you know, with that in mind, it's good to, my philosophy is, you know, appreciating the simple things in life. So Yeah, just I love those simple, clean lines, like bold colour use. It leaves room to appreciate what's actually in the bottle as well. I spent a lot of time, probably over a year, just trying to find the perfect bottle. I thought I had the right one, and then right at the last moment, we were that it was actually this other bottle. It was 500 mils, and it was in France, on the dock in the container. And I had to ask Simon, because I'm terrible with this kind of thing. I was like, Simon, can you, I've just found this other bottle. It's way better. It's exactly what I wanted from the very beginning. Can we cancel that other order? And can we order this new bottle? And he was just like, oh God, like I fully stitched him up. And he, like a champion, he did it. And we luckily, because you know it's so tight in the beginning, like you just yeah. It still is. We've only just started, but yeah, this is a while ago, and luckily he managed to cancel that order, went off the dock. Wow. Like went back to the supplier. We got this other one, and this one's from Italy. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful bottle. And yeah, this, yeah, with a glass topper. I mean, you always sort of go, oh, what if we do this? And, you know, I've got some other plans just for some like extra embellishment and things like that. But yeah, I probably went off topic a little bit.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, it's like very perfume inspired. So obviously yes. Being this shape, that's why I loved it so much. And it's so important for me that, you know, one of the main things I'm trying to work on at the moment is that someone gets an online order from us. They open the box, you know, they had this beautiful experience opening the box like they would a beauty brand, and they like hold it and it's coveted and it's luxurious and they just want to put it up on their shelf and keep it there forever. And then once they drink the gin, you know, put flowers in it because it's pretty. So I just really wanted to create a product that people, yeah, coveted, I suppose, like they really love it and want to share it. In terms of the typography, that was probably our biggest challenge, because Unlikely Companions is just such a bloody long word, such a long name. Didn't really think about that on my walk when I thought it up. But, yeah, so Sune, our designer, she came up with the option to hyphenate Unlikely and Companions on the bottle, which it's just so brilliant on so many levels, because it's bold and it's taking a risk. It's something that you just don't do in advertising. Everyone says, like, especially when we're trying to go into the US, and they're like, oh, the, like people have told me, like, oh, the Americans aren't that smart, they won't get it. And but they love it, so clearly they get it. People didn't give them enough credit, you know. But yeah, and just I think it also just speaks to us being, you know, confident enough to do things a little differently. And I like to think that if we're just consistently doing like bit by bit, everything differently, in a small little way, then it'll carve a completely new path of our own. Just coming back to that first question, you know, like, you know, why we're trying to do this, it's so like saturated, but I think we can make squeeze ourselves in there just bit by bit. And
absolutely. Now your brand talks about leaning into the mind, not just focusing on place or local ingredients, but on ingenuity, originality, and willingness to experiment. What does that mean in practice, and how does it shape your gin making approach?
Yeah, so this is so important to me, because I don't think Kiwis give themselves enough credit, like in terms of being the best creatives in the world. I personally think, like, having done advertising, our advertising is so much better than anyone else's. On the smaller budgets we've got smaller budgets, we've got less people, we're more competitive. And it's just meant that, you know, we end up in my opinion, like coming up with the best ideas. So I think we're incredibly creative, and I think that's definitely something we don't like to talk about ourselves enough anyway. So that's why we end up talking about Te Wā and push provenance and all this, because Kiwis hate talking about themselves. And I think it's a real shame. We really need to, I'm terrible at it as well, because that's the culture I'm brought up in. I hate talking about myself. But like Simon, who is my business partner, he's like great at talking, pushing our brand and talking about it. But for me, it's something I really have to work at. Yeah. And so it's something that I would like us to, you know, really start thinking about doing more on the world stage, creating those connections overseas, first of all. Like we just need to work way harder at that. We've got so much to sell and people want it, but people just don't know how to get themselves out there on the export market.
It's
a shame, because we have the best products. We're amazing, and like our producers are incredible. I mean, we're consistently told by like the branding guys to push provenance, and while I love that story, it's and it's definitely important, the Americans love it. I just think we've got more than that to share with the world. And I guess for us, it's just another way we're trying to differentiate ourselves from the saturation, and to celebrate our, you know, Kiwi ingenuity, our creative abilities, and, yeah, challenge ourselves to think differently and not be afraid to take risks or explore new ways of doing things.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Okay, now let's talk about the gins. You've launched with two distinct gins, Rose Szechuan and Sea Salt and Kelp. They're adventurous, but they're accessible. What inspired those flavor profiles, and what kind of experience are you aiming to deliver?
Yeah, lovely. Nice question. Simon and I joke that, okay, at the moment we have, you know, our pink gin, and the blue gin is the sea salt and kelp is sort of like Simon's gin. That was the flavor profile he worked on. Rose and Szechuan is the one, yeah, the flavor profile I worked on. I think a lot of, like, they do reflect our personalities a little bit. You know, like, I'm a lot more out there. He's sort of very refined. And I'm the loud one. He's super refined and has this like lovely Scottish accent. And the sea salt and kelp for us, in terms of the experience, it's like a quick dip in the ocean. You've got the sea salt, and then the kelp is more of an umami taste. It's also grounded with like aniseed flavor to help sweeten and ground the gin as well. So for us it's like a quick dip in the ocean, very refreshing, lovely citrus notes, and it should feel like you are on the shoreline on the east coast, you know, breathing in that salt air and just like tasting what, you know, the coast should taste like. Rose and Szechuan, you should get this experience of like a rose blooming in the mouth. Have you tried our gins yet, Susie? You should like get this experience of, you know, the rose blooming on the palate, with the rose petal, and then the rose water, and then finally with, you know, the nice bit of spice, finishing off with a bit of spice back of the tongue, with the Szechuan. So obviously very perfume inspired with the top to base notes, and that thinking Middle East meets Far East, being Szechuan.
Yeah.
And yeah, just bringing together some different flavors that aren't immediately obvious, but work and just beautifully balance each other and create that beautiful harmony. And they both have that. They're both very smooth. They're just very well, like, beautifully balanced, because I don't know if I told you already, but we individually distill all of the botanicals before putting them together. Right. So it just means that we're able to create, you know, that measure and balance to the nth degree.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Okay. Now, before we go on, a quick reminder to our listeners, we've got Wellington Gindulgence is back on the 24th of January 26, as well as Christchurch in March and Auckland in May. Now, this is one of the top events on the Spirit calendar. Now, picture dozens of local distilleries serving delicious cocktails, summer vibes, great food, and of course, your chance to vote in New Zealand Spirit Guide's People's Choice Awards. Now, unlike other awards judged by experts, this one is decided by the people who matter most. You, the drinkers, the explorers, the gin lovers. So come along and taste what's new, like Unlikely Companions, to cast your vote. Now, Alice, you were the first ever winner of the People's Choice Awards at Gindulgence in Tauranga, which is an incredible achievement for such a newly launched gin brand. Given that this award is decided not by industry panels, but by the consumers themselves, what was that moment like for you? And what did it mean knowing that people are tasting and casting their vote on your gin?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. Thank you for even creating it in the first place. Honestly, I wrote off that we'd even have a chance at getting an award like that, and it was probably just the nicest feeling out of all of the awards that we've had, if I'm totally honest, because like at the end of the day, the consumers, like, it's I don't even know how to describe it completely, but yeah, really, like, fills your heart to know that, you know, we made a nice impression on people that day. I feel like what I said to Simon, the nice thing is that it was such a like team effort, you know, like I do feel like it was, well, I'm hoping it was sort of the experience we gave people and the stories that we told them at the stand, and because you do a lot of tastings with everyone, they get the free tastings. And yeah, that they just, yeah, really loved it, even though we've just started and, you know, the stand wasn't exactly how I wanted it to be. And yeah, it was just, it meant so much. Yeah, it really meant a lot to us. So yeah, thanks to everyone who did actually vote for us. It was the biggest surprise ever, and probably definitely the nicest award that we've won so far. Like, so stoked.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah,
congratulations.
No, awesome. Yeah, thank you.
So now that you're literally a couple of months old, looking ahead, what's next for Unlikely Companions? Are you going to do more gins, limited runs, plans for a cellar door, or distillery experiences in the Huriri?
Yeah, so I'm actually just in our tasting room at the moment, which we are launching this weekend. So that's, we're 7A Tangaroa Street in our Huriri. So we, every Friday and Saturday, 12 to 4, we'll have tastings, and we're also putting on masterclasses and other experiences like that. So that's really exciting. We are working on a new gin currently at the moment, so a third one that we hope to have we hope to have it fully refined by, you know, February 14th. But otherwise, we do want to keep it fairly controlled, like our range. I have been told many times, don't go too crazy on the range, and actually, you know, it's. We definitely want each one of these flavors to get their time in the spotlight. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we've got an exciting new flavor coming.
Keep an eye on that.
Yes.
So, Alice, it's the end of the working week. You've got a bottle of your gin in front of you, which I think we now know is which one is your favorite one. You're pouring. But tell us, how are you enjoying it?
So honestly, the Saison Kelp makes the best martini. It is like naturally because it's got the salty, you know, it's got the brine already there. So it makes a really beautiful filthy martini with a bit of, you know, olive and, you know, you could, yeah, it's just delicious. I didn't even like martinis before our gin. We created our gin, if I'm completely honest. It's just so smooth. So try that. But otherwise, yeah, our rose in Sichuan is really beautiful in a lot of cocktails. It does really well with grapefruit soda. For some reason, grapefruit soda, amazing with a bit of fresh orange. Super simple, sessionable. You can too easily have a few of those.
Wow. Delicious. That sounds like perfect end to a week.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, Alice, thank you so much for sharing the unlikely companion story with us today. From launching just a few months ago to taking out the NZ Spirit Guide's People Choice Award at Gindulgence Tauranga, it's been an impressive start. And with bold flavours and a clear creative vision driving the brand, I'm really looking forward to seeing where Unlikely Companions heads next. So thank you for coming along today.
No, thank you so much, Susie. And yeah, we're looking forward to it too.
Right, to our listeners out there, if you would like to try Unlikely Companions and their award-winning gin for yourself, head to nzspiritguide.com to find the links to grab yourself a bottle. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.